but the nice one or the other one?
Time to call the Gage County Board of Supervisors to order. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Anderson, Gronewald, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byer, and Barnard. Consent agenda consists of general agenda, approve minutes of meeting held June 30th, approve all claims through July 14th in the amount of $385,449.22, approve and place on file correspondence received, approve permit 866 for Windstream to install communication facility in East 21, Nemaha Township.
I move we approve consent agenda items 1 through 5.
Second.
Moved by Fleece, seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, a question.
Just a question maybe from Marlon, or for Marlon. These Windstream communication facilities, it seems like about once a meeting you've got one of those. Are those for new home construction? Are those towers? What exactly are those?
Some are new homes. Some are cable that went bad.
Soon as.
Stuff like that. Sometimes it's them going around one of our projects. A lot of things.
I was curious.
Any other discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Marlon, Highway Superintendent report. You're up.
Zoning issue still the same. We're planning on having a meeting in August. And I did get an email from the NDEQ about our special use permit over here towards Holmesville, and they are monitoring and they are making them comply. So,
okay, Rick is going to get with you on that. So yeah. You guys can have it. She just sent him one this morning to work together on that.
I don't know, I got this email last week, but they're... Beatrice Concrete decided that they need to comply, so they're...
And Ross did call and convey thanks.
Yeah.
And he said to tell you thank you, and I don't know if Gary had some other comments with Ross, so...
Yeah, I think that sometimes when our constituents call with questions, I would hope that our... We don't have any employees that become a little disenchanted because they call about concerns they have, so I hope that doesn't happen anymore. I do have a question, though, for Marlon regarding this. Is that a federal law, Marlon, that we have to have somebody responsible for this? And if it is that going to be you?
I don't know whether NDEQ monitors the erosion control.
That will be a discussion you can have with Rick, because I think those are the answers that Rick's going to have to give.
Chairman.
Matt?
Well, question, since we have Hannah Keelan that's working on the updating of planning and zoning, is there anything we could add to planning and zoning regarding some of these projects? Maybe that's something that you and Rick can talk about. Can that be put in there as a caveat to some of these projects?
Yeah, the compliance with state DEQ, state and national DEQ would
something
be...
Like that.
Would be a precondition for zoning approval, basically.
We usually put that in special uses.
I was going to say, I thought it was listed that all state and federal regs would be followed.
Okay.
So I don't know, Gary, what were you talking about, employees not responding correctly?
That might be a personnel matter. I probably will leave it at that.
Okay.
That'd be for another executive session, maybe.
All right, I don't know what that is. Anyway, they're working on it.
And you don't like me.
We need to probably talk about that kind of stuff at Road and Bridge, too.
I'll share with you.
Anyway, moving on. Next thing is the equipment plan. I updated it again since last year, and the budget was over, and we didn't get that low boy tractor yet. So the new plan is in there, and then I got a copy of what was before that in the back of your report. So And, of course, we've already accepted the bid on the motor grader.
That's just waiting to receive it is all that amounts to, correct?
Yeah. So.
What's the date on that?
September 1st, I think.
September?
They're normally, you know, on the 140s or the even 770s, the company will have some in their system that are already made or are being made that meet our specs, but on an all-wheel drive, they didn't. So that had to have been ordered and built at the factory. So.
Mr. Chairman.
Matt?
One of the things I think important to point out, just so everyone's aware, and we discussed this, I sat in on Road and Bridge, is we're still paying, there's a lease out there of $6,000 a month for that other motor grader. So we're making sure that we're actively using that for what we need to until this thing shows up. So we also looked at, you'll see again the addition of that low boy semi-tractor trailer that we had decided not to do anything with. And three of us from finance committee were there also, and we decided, well, let's put it in there, see if we can work it. As the budget comes in. So I know we've got some protest changes here, so we'll have to see how the dollars and everything work out. So,
Gary?
I got two questions. On that bid on that grader, Marlon, wasn't there a time when it was supposed to be delivered, included in the bid?
Yeah.
They just state the time for delivery.
So are we falling within that time?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. Second thing, I see in the 2011 and 2012 excavator for $90,000. Does that mean you're going to... Didn't we just buy talking about a track cat?
That's the big excavator that the 5-year buyback will be up on it.
Oh, okay.
And we normally, you know, that gets a lot of use.
Yeah. And, how many hours is on it now?
I think it's somewhere around 4,000. Yeah, I mean, it gets a lot of. I was going to check on that this morning and see exactly, but I didn't.
That's the Deer track hoe, right?
Right, yeah. That's the excavator with the thumb that we use for a lot of things.
When you bid something like that motor grader, it's not going to be here for 4 months. Is there anything that you can put in that bid as to what they would provide you while we're waiting for it?
Well, normally it ain't an issue because normally if we trade one in, but it means we took the buyback on that New Holland.
Well, I know.
That's why we got.
But we knew that.
Yeah.
I was wondering if they would give us a better deal than the $6,100 or something a month for the next 4 months.
Gary?
Would this be a good time to maybe run your guys in some different shifts and let them have it back for $6,000 a month and do what Matt and Rex had talked about? Instead of somebody being off Fridays, we have them start on Tuesday and they work Friday or maybe some Saturdays so we don't have that $6,000 a month? Might be a good time to experiment with that, mightn't it, to see how that would work? And save us $6,000 a month for a while.
Well, we also talked about it. Matt brought up that maybe for $6,000 you'd find a township that wasn't using theirs 24/7 either.
Well, there's a couple alternatives. It looks a lot better than $6,000 a month right now, maybe. And if the roads are halfway decent shape, we're not at harvest time yet, maybe we just could do without, like I said, let them run a Friday and Saturday instead of make more use of what we got.
Mr. Chair.
Dave.
Can I defend the turf?
Yeah.
A couple comments. One, this is construction season. The machine in question is the dirt machine. It's running 24/7 when weather permits. Well, I shouldn't say 24/7. There were 10-hour days, but on the road shouldering project. So we're in a very high demand time, and that's just what big equipment is worth. That may sound like big dollars, but in the scheme of things, not so much. The other thing, townships are very, very, selective about who and what happens with their machines as far as other operators or other use. And, you know, we haven't asked them, but I can tell you that none of them would be very receptive to another government entity coming in and running their machines hard for, you know, several weeks or months or whatever.
Would they do it
again
for less money
in the years I've been here? This is the very first time that we have not had a trade-in, so this is a very unique situation where, you know, we sent the New Holland back and are short a machine. So I guess I don't see it as that big an issue.
Not only that, they'd have to, the townships would have to have that person be insured to run that machine specifically, even though the county has insurance for their employees, because I know, like Hanover Township, each person has to get their own insurance plan to run that specific machine.
Rex?
Gary?
I guess that would lead me back then. Is there a reason we can't run our machines extra and switch the shifts on the days they're working so we don't have to? That would still, why wouldn't that work? Why couldn't somebody come in on Monday?
I'm not saying it won't work, because I believe it would work.
But it'd be kind of a good time to maybe try it if we're thinking about doing some. Matt's talked about this, and I know you have. A good time to try to look and see if some of this kind of thing will work for us to save us some money.
What's our estimated delivery?
Yes, it would.
Well, how much longer do we got? What's our estimated delivery?
September.
September 1st.
You got July and August yet?
Month and a half.
12 grand.
But just on the management standpoint, I'm having trouble keeping enough warm bodies in the machines during that four-day week because of vacations, because of comp time from the winter. There's a lot of comp time. Our rules say they have to use them in so many months. There's days there's hardly enough people to you know, even send out crews, so...
I don't think it's something we can fix today. I think it's something we need to discuss and plan for if we're going to. But there's too many what-ifs right now. I mean, we've had the what-if scenarios going for a long time. But I do believe it's something we need to look into in the future, is maximizing the use of our equipment.
Are you getting done what you need to get done with the staff, even with the staffing problems, Marlon?
It's getting done. It's not, you know, we're shouldering the road. We're not building a bridge because the bridge crew's helping. The bridge is ready to go for north of 12 Paddock. But until we get that shouldering done, we just don't have the personnel to build the bridge. And with a couple guys still gone on medical leave, so.
Is this something financially that would be difficult for us to put on temporaries? With the unemployment situation out there, some very, very qualified people, is this a time when we should be...
We have one temporary motor grader guy working part-time in the Philly area right now.
Could we be adding more, and should we, and can we afford to?
We're kind of switching around and having guys like today, the Thorns going down on Bence's roads, and we've had Mike Bear go down and Leon go down, so we're trying to get the roads covered, you know, that way. So,
could we hire temporaries for the Friday, Saturday? Is that what you're getting at, Denny? For
yes.
Those two, supplement those 2 days?
I mean, that's a possibility. I could look again. I hired one temporary and a couple flaggers temporary. But
I would think if we aren't getting done what we need to get done, if we have the dollars in the budget to do it, and we can get some qualified temporaries to do it, I would think this would be a time that we would want to pursue that.
We can hire a lot of help for $6,000 a month.
And I can't imagine we don't have some people out there that are qualified, they're out of a job. And
we're looking to supplement their income.
Last hiring I did, there was a lot of welders. And
not the people you wanted, huh?
There was no really experienced equipment operators.
Are your guys cross-trained so they can do more than one thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Chair,
Dave.
I guess I'd remiss if I didn't ask Marlon usually does a song and dance here about how many employees fewer were operating on a full-time basis. It seemed like it'd be appropriate to remind the public or the board.
Yeah, when I started, there was, in 2002, there was 37 in the highway department and two full-time equivalent in the weed department, and we're down to 32 full-time now, and we got the one part-time and two flaggers, so.
We've tried to streamline, and most of the time it works fine, but like you mentioned, right now we've got a bridge ready to go. We're in the middle of what should be construction season, and we're trying to get the Zion Road shouldered, and, I mean, it's stressful when there's two or three people out on injury, and like you said, vacation, and then so much comp time from the blizzards, and I welcome this discussion. I think this this board really needs to understand more day-to-day operation of the highway department, and I strongly encourage that. So this is a good, healthy discussion.
If we never step out of the box, we always end up in the status quo of what's been. So
end up in the box.
I'm not against looking at temporaries to fill in on non-typical days of work. If it means
I'll
working Friday, Saturday.
I'll see find another one for the Odell area, because I'm not sure when he's going to be.
If you need two, I'm not against that. If it supplements the use of our equipment. Granted, there's drawbacks to the more hours you put on your equipment. You're going to wear them out. You know, there is negatives to it, Gary.
Last thing I'll say is welcome to what the rest of the world has to do right now in the economy that we're in. We need to maybe find ways to do things different instead of ways not to try something that's a little different. And like Rex said, out of the box. The rest of the world is now living in what we probably are going to have to look at some things, whether it's business or other governments. If you read the local Omaha World Herald and the other papers, people are taking cuts. We just have to do some of these things. So all I'd say is welcome to what the rest of the world's used to already.
Well, he's had to deal with a lot of rain and mud and stuff that makes a difference too.
Not been good weather conditions.
Okay.
Yep. What else, Marlon?
Moving right along. Next week, I got a review at the Federal Building in Lincoln with the Kansas City review team on environmental commitments and the whole process for federal aid things. I don't know exactly what it all entails, but I asked them what I was supposed to bring, and they said not any weapons.
And you're going to get all that done in 50 minutes?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, they're just interested in the process and okay. Comparing it to what Nebraska or Iowa and Kansas and surrounding states are doing. All I can say is it's getting better, because we're starting to have meetings where the state, the feds, the CE, the RC, you understand all them letters, all get together and we approve a document and sign it right there, you know, with everybody there. So, and that's starting to work better. So hopefully we'll get everything streamlined so projects can go through, because the prior process was you send in your NEPA document, one agency reviews it, they don't like something, they send it back, you change it, then you send it back, and all these steps take a few weeks' time. So that process is helping. So,
is this review more for state agencies than it is for the locals?
It's reviewing what Nebraska's doing compared to Iowa, Kansas, and everybody else. So.
I think it's good that we were invited to the table for that level of discussion. You know, they wanted some local input, and glad Marlon got invited.
Well, they told me not to bring any weapons, so I don't know what that means. But anyway, going on.
You're telling me you're not in a civil defense course, you don't have to worry about it. So,
the shouldering job, we got 3 miles completely done, except for the seating. We're working on the fourth mile. It's the last 2 miles are the ones going up and down some hills, so there's a little more work there. But it's looking good. The people in the area seem to be kind of happy with it. So.
Who does your seeding?
We do our own.
About time to do it, about another 30 days.
Exactly. When we get this done, we usually borrow the Pheasants Forever drill and fix it, and then we use it, and then we take it back.
Fix it, yeah.
Someday I'm going to buy one at an auction, so you'll be looking for that claim.
No, you won't.
They ain't that much if you buy a good used one. But
Dave probably got one. He'll rent you cheap.
Not for roadside. Yes, I won't rent it.
The federal projects, the Burnson South, we have pre-con tomorrow morning on that. Look for construction to start shortly thereafter. Then the crews are basically shouldering asphalt crews, patching holes. They sawed a whole bunch of holes and they're digging them out and patching them now. And so it's kind of all I have.
How come is that Adams Northwest, that easement, that's a whole year almost already?
Yeah, it's these projects, you know, they just like the Beatrice North, all of a sudden they pick it up and they want to shove it so that the paperwork just lays there and they, you know, if they're concentrating on them, one or two.
Protecting the right-of-way file. So, you got the damn thing for a month. I mean, for years. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
What else, Marlon? That's it?
I have.
Get with me later and we'll talk some about the non-traditional. I think we can work something very easily, though, with on that. So, okay. Mark Mites, Emergency Management Activity Report.
Good morning. Should have been packets that I put in the boxes yesterday. Hopefully everybody got theirs. First attachment is the weekly calendar. Just a couple of things I wanted to hit on that. And I'm going to have Sean speak on this in a few minutes, but we did participate and prepared, took some time prepared for and did participate in that animal stop movement order exercise. Like I said, Sean will cover that with us in a few minutes. One of the call-outs was for the drowning on the Big Blue River here in Beatrice. Also, there was a four-day period, the weekend of the 19th through the 22nd. You may notice we had 8 thunderstorm watches in 4 days. That's when we had some flooding in the river and monitored the river throughout that that time period. And so there was quite an extensive amount of time spent. We had 2 different conference calls, and so in some of those issued was most of them stayed as watches. So, but that's when we did receive a lot of rain. Met with Marlon. We didn't have any. Of course, NEMA calls right away, wants to know if you know we had any damages. And Marlon and I visited, and we didn't see anything that was significant enough to turn in. Did a pre-planning with Akuma in the industrial park. A tour. The sheriff's department and us did a tour and reviewed their emergency response plan. And also did a review of emergency plans for Region 5 services in the industrial park and in a couple of their duplexes that they have here in town, and changed some of their that particular plan. We had to change some of their tornado plans and such. So did attend on Thursday on the 8th. We did have 3 meetings in Lincoln, the Seamers equipment meeting. That was the Southeast Medical Reserve Systems. And they had another regional meeting in Lincoln and an LAPC meeting in Lincoln also. One of the things during that, the next thing here is a loss assessment report that you see. Anytime we have crop damage and or agricultural damage to buildings or crops in the county, I'm required to attend the Emergency Management, USDA Emergency Management Board I sit on, and where we have to review myself and Paul Hay, Mr. Stark at the USDA office, which he's leaving right now, so there's a new person going to be coming in, and then the replacement for Wally Velasic. So over the last 9 years, the four of us have met every time there's been any type of damage to crops from flooding, hail, or whatever. So that just gives you an idea of the report and the stuff that we do cover during that report and how much damages there were during this last storm over that time period. So, which appeared to be pretty extensive in some areas. So we monitor that real close, and that allows, you know, I think a lot of it has to do, and those that work in agriculture could probably tell me more, but my understanding is it has to do with some loan payments and such if you have damages, if you have USDA participate in their programs and such. So received back from on federal grants, $36,826.55 on reimbursement of grants. Most $25,000 was for the AVL system, part of the AVL system payment. $11,826, I think, come from Sean's position. Some of that was. The next paper, in those regional meetings we have, we talk a lot about communications, and so I'm not sure if you received this particular paper. If it is, it's in duplication. I'm sorry, but I think it's real important that the county understands where we're at on the statewide communications. They're going to be having a meeting. Usually the meetings are out west, so I've never attended any of them. So the next meeting is going to be held in Lincoln, so I want to go to one of them just to keep up to speed. This is kind of a frequently asked questions type of thing that kind of helps you understand the NWIM and how that operates and how the state interoperable communication system is going to operate, kind of how we on a local level are going to have to operate underneath that statewide system. So this is where we received a lot of money in our regional budget, and I wanted to bring that up, but I forgot to write that figure down. But we have a considerable amount of money that we participate in this statewide system. So a lot of our discussion periods during those regional meetings have to do with where we're going to be purchasing and where the equipment's going to go on a local level. One of the things I sit on now is a committee that I know that we're going to get communication systems here in Gage County for the statewide system. The question is, from all of us local emergency managers back to the state, is how we're going to be able to sustain it. So if I have something that's going to cost me $3,000 a year, where am I going to get that $3,000 a year at a county level to take care of that equipment? And that's just a figure I'm throwing out. It may be $100 a year. I don't know. It depends on what kind of equipment you get. It's all the way from microwave equipment to hardwired equipment to, you're looking at internet-based equipment. There's just all kinds of equipment there. But my big question is, and that's why I did volunteer to be on the committee, is that I know we're going to get equipment here because of our location and because of some of the towers that we have here in Gage County. And so I don't want to be left out there thinking that we're going to get this equipment and not have no way to sustain it. So we are working on that now, and that's one of the things they're going to bring up at that meeting at the end of the month in Lincoln. So I will be attending that to make sure that we're able to do that and sustain it. But there's a lot of good frequently asked questions here, and if you have any questions, just let me know. Well, working with the Gage County Fair, that schedule there is just gives you an idea of the volunteer hours that my CERT team is going to be putting in and who those people are. So you're going to see them at the fair each night. Have a couple there that volunteered every night, a couple that's a few nights, and so a really good group of people to take their time out in the evenings. And from 6 to 10, they'll be at the fair. And you'll see them around the trailer and walking to assist if case there's a missing person or there does happen to be a severe weather event come up or they have to evacuate or secure the area for some reason. So, but a good group of people. I'm really glad to have them. And just kind of go into what I really want to talk about, too, is some of the safety stuff. I've kind of taken a turn to really, we need to really look at this safety at our county level. And so a reminder that this presentation, this self-defense course that NIRMA's putting on, I do have a meeting set up with Chad that anybody's welcome to come to. I know you all can't come, but he wants to come down tomorrow morning, and we're going to go through all of our claims and look at where we need to start. He wants us to put out like a 6 or 8 month program to says, for example, if all of our claims are because somebody's wrecking cars, maybe we need driving training. If some of our claims because we're lifting too much, we need lifting training. And that's what we're going to look at tomorrow. So we'll be meeting in my trailer at 9 o'clock in the morning. If any of you can come, that'd be great. Any of the elected officials that want to come and just cover some of that, the other elected officials, it'd be great too. One of the things, we've had an increase in our cost of our insurance, and I'd like to set a goal that we try to knock that down by the next time we have a audit, and where we're coming from on that is that I think if we work with NIRMA, they're going to work with us. If we just ignore NIRMA's recommendations, I think we're going to have a problem. I think I put in your box too earlier was the best safety practices for counties, and he really stressed that. I mean, he really said you need to start with number one and just go down the list, which includes, and number one is a safety manual. We have a safety manual, but I don't think we enforce it. And that includes reprimand. If someone has an accident, they recommend reprimanding them, at least investigating it. If it was their fault, they need to be reprimanded. establish a safety committee. I planned out now. We have a meeting planned on the 22nd, I think it is. We're going to start doing that fourth Thursday of the quarters to get those meetings going again. If we have to have more meetings, we have to have more meetings where we break down into groups, investigate all incidents and events. We need to make sure that's being done. That was one of his big things, is that he did not feel that we're doing that, investigating all those incidents and events. So look at job descriptions. Are we set good on job descriptions as far as lifting and things like that? Inspections, he wants, motor vehicle records inspections as well as workplace site inspections. So that's some of the things that we're going to be looking at. Like I said, with Chad's going to help me write that program. Last thing I included in your packet was the hazardous weather operations plan. This is in draft form. I hope that by the next meeting, I can get this done. If I have any feedback from you, I can make those changes and to get it approved at the next meeting. So we have the hazardous weather operations plan. It hadn't been updated since 2006, so which a lot of it hadn't changed until just recently with adding in the reverse 911 and such. So I'll leave it to Sean now to talk a couple minutes, unless there's any questions for me. The Durango, I'm having it serviced right now, and it'll be taken to Wymore today. And then, too, that NEMA, the Nebraska Emergency Management Agency, just announced that they hired an auditor to come back and audit our grants. So we're going to be concentrating on making sure all our ducks in a row in case we get audited. We should be setting pretty good. There's a few receipts and things we got to clean up a little bit, but for merchandise that we've purchased and a lot of other departments to take. So.
Okay. Any questions? Danny?
Just how's the cash flow coming in as far as the townships relative to the NERM out, relative to the damage?
Well, dollars? Friday I had a conversation with Mr. Oldman, what I've been telling them, the state has told us for 3 months the money's there, but we haven't received anything yet. So I've been recommending the townships that it's out of our hands at the county level to contact Senator Wallman's office. I've talked to Jen up there, Senator Wallman's office, and she knows those phone calls. She's already received a couple, but I beat the phone calls to let her know they were going to be coming, and I gave her the name of the person at NEMA to contact to make sure she has some answers for them, because they're not receiving any of that yet. Okay. And they're pretty upset.
I got follow through with Senator Wallman.
Yes, okay. Yes. I talked to Jennifer up there, and like I said, she's already received some of them phone calls, and she's working with NEMA to get back to them with an answer. So because it's, they can tell me anything, but I figured the senator's office would probably be a good place to forward some of that to and get back to the lieutenant governor and say, hey, here's this money. If you've got it, why aren't you getting it out? So, and I know NEMA's busy with multiple amount of disasters going right now. So, but I don't think that's any excuse, because our locals spent the money. If the money's there, they need to have it back. So, but they can tell us, emergency managers, anything. It's just senators call maybe sometimes gets it going a little quicker. So,
okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Mark.
Yep, I'll let Sean.
Sean, you're up.
Good morning. As Mark said, on June 17th, Gage County participated in an animal stop movement exercise that was put on by the Nebraska Department of Agriculture. This is something that they've been wanting to do. It's the first one done in the state of Nebraska, and I think one of only a handful done across the nation. We went down south of Wymore on Highway 77, the Nebraska-Kansas border, had some actor vehicles come through. We stopped them, and they had the sheriff's department was involved. They had a list of questions to ask the drivers, where their loads were coming from, where they were going, things like that. And then they were either permitted to leave or they quarantined them. Everything went really well. As I said, Gage County Emergency Management Deputy Director Dave Niemeyer played in it, as well as Gage County Sheriff's Office, Marshall County Sheriff's Office, Riley County Sheriff's Office from Kansas, Marshall County, Kansas Emergency Management. Paul Hay was there. Our local leaders vet from Cortland, which is, they've had some specialized training in the emergency disease response thing. Everything went really well. It took about 11 minutes average of 11 minutes to inspect the vehicles and either permit them or quarantine them. One of the big things that was brought out of the exercise and brought into the after-action plan, which we are working on, is that the amount of resources it would take to actually stop traffic, live traffic, not just after vehicles in a real situation. This drill was part of a planning process where in the next 12 to 18 months they actually want to have a full-scale exercise where they stop all livestock vehicles crossing the Nebraska-Kansas border. And Gage County hosting this drill has a very good chance of having that exercise be available to them. So good drill overall. Would need more resources. I think the sheriff's office realized that right off the bat. They had three deputies out there and the sheriff. And without the Marshall County and Riley County, Kansas, law enforcement, I don't think they would have been able to safely do it on the highway. So, but a really good thing. Hopefully, there's some things that Gage County can learn from this, and we can pass them on to the state.
Why did Riley come so far? I mean, they just wanted to partake in it, or?
Riley County, Kansas, has one of three. They're called stop movement trailers in the state of Kansas. They had a big trailer full of barricades. They've had specialized training in setting up checkpoints. They came to be a resource to Gage County, more or less show and tell for their trailer. We didn't use any of their equipment. We had some equipment from the Nebraska Department of Roads state shop that we used, but it was really neat to see their equipment.
Did we get any kind of a grant to help us dollar-wise as far as having our deputies out of our office? And as far as we did, okay.
Yes, there's some money available through the state to help pay for that, and we just
how much?
I'm not sure.
Ever gave us a
it's whatever our expenses were.
Okay.
And the only expenses, it would reimburse us for backfill and overtime. And the only other expenses that wouldn't have been covered are mileage. And then we had lunch that day, but the Weimar Good Samaritan Home provided free lunch for everybody that day.
Okay. So. Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
Approve or disapprove NERMA providing CPR and first aid training for county employees at $13.20 each. Matt.
Make a motion to approve using NERMA to provide the CPR and first aid training for county employees.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Fleece. Discussion.
I think it's valuable to mention here that this is part of working with and maintaining that relationship with NERMA regarding the increase that we saw. And I think we all had contact. There's an email from the Red Cross yesterday, and I responded personally to that and tried to explain. It's not any lack of appreciation for what they do. It's more of just using our current insurance provider to do the CPR with and work closely with them. As again, as we saw that almost 7.5% increase, we want to work closely, like with what Mark is doing, with Chad coming down and doing CPR. Now we may not actually see any. Actual reduction because of CPR, but again, it's having that relationship with them. And so I responded to Rosemary Niemeyer from Gage County, or what they call Southeast Nebraska Red Cross Services now, or I believe that's what it is, and explained to them that it's not trying to do an end around anyone, it's just trying to use an entity that we're currently working with. And I never had any response back, and I think you're quiet. No, so.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0. Approve or disapprove having board chairman sign acceptance for juvenile justice grant. Stina, you're up.
This is the grant that we come before you every year to accept. We received $19,387. The county acts as a pass-through. This is the community service coordinator position that we contract with the Beatrice Police Department to provide a half-time position. Nothing's changed this year. Diane Swanson and I still take care of writing the county plan every 3 years and the grant every year. So.
Okay.
Make a motion. Yeah.
Moved by Groenewald.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Where do I sign? There's a lot of different.
There are three different
or four different places. Give us a copy, or can I get it on? And then we're at here, right here. Discuss and approve or disapprove continuing discussion on joint ownership and responsibility of maintenance of rails and trails at an average of $1,500 per mile of maintenance with the NRD, the city, and the Nebraska Trails Foundation. The reason I'm bringing this to a discussion, Ron and I have said at a couple meetings with the city, the Rails to Trails, the NRD, and to me, if there's no interest of the board, we're spending a lot of people's time and energy. What the Rails to Trails is asking is that all three, the city of Beatrice, basically take the ownership, the all three then assume the responsibility of the maintenance. To the Kansas line, it's 19.4 miles. The average price that they've come up with across the nation is $1,500 per mile for maintenance. And I guess my stance on it is we're looking at cutting services. I don't know where the money will come from. I do know the state of Nebraska, I think, cut $385,000 in the Rails to Trails of the Cowboy Trail. I'm not funding the Games and Parks Cowboy Trail. Well, the first meeting that we met with them, the Rails to Trails told us they were going to put funds in a perpetual account to cover maintenance. Well, they come up with $25,000. And I'll let Ron. Ron's been in on them too. So,
well, I'm going to make a motion that we approve continuing discussion on joint ownership and responsibility and maintenance of the rails and trails at an average. I don't know, the $1,500 I don't even think should be in there, but I'll put it in there anyway, with the NRD, the city, and the Nebraska Trails Foundation.
I'll second it for discussion.
Moved by Fleece, seconded by Bauman.
To approve.
Barnard,
I'm sorry.
my idea is that we've heard about it, and it's kind of been set aside here for the last two or three years about it. There's been some interest now. The city of Marysville has developed 2 miles from Marysville north, and they're looking at developing to the state lines. It has been developed all the way from Lincoln down to Cortland by the Lower Platte South NRD. The city of Beatrice has went from here to Pickerel, and are looking to finish that segment within the next year between Pickerel and Cortland. So that entire route from Lincoln basically to Beatrice will be developed as a recreational trails, whatever you want to call it. And so they're looking at a multi-local unit of government agreement, whatever you want to call it, to be responsible for the maintenance of it, and also ownership of it, as it's owned by the foundation at this point in time. To see whether it can be completed all the way down to Marysville over the next few years. My suggestion to the group, and we've been meeting with the city and also with the foundation and other interested people in trails, to look at what possibilities are, whether there could be some joint agreements between the three organizations on maintenance. The NRD has equipment on maintenance, since they have several parks out in the rural areas for spraying and mowing. The city's been doing that now between here and Pickerel. I think the $1,500 per mile is probably high when you look at other organizations that have done it basically on a volunteer basis. And my idea was that there's nothing wrong with continuing discussion. If anything is ever comes to a head, then you can always come back to the board and say, okay, this is what happened if we were involved with it. least we would know what information we have out there that's current. My idea was that there would be at least two from the NRD board, two from this board, and two from the city council that would meet and see what kind of a situation we have and whether or not what the cost could possibly be, whether or not there could be any joint responsibilities on who would take care of what. So I just think we should at least continue discussions of it. You can always bring them back and vote on it. Here we're talking about people getting more involved with exercise, whatever the case would be. Talk about it here, about people going out and doing something at noon hour. There's plenty for them to do if we just have the opportunity for them. So that's Gary. My spiel.
Gary?
I guess we've talked about this since I've been on the board on and off and probably before then, and I appreciate the people that enjoy the trails, and I understand the people when it infringes on the rural property owners, farms and things. I do see the one in Beatrice being used a lot. It's a beautiful trail. But I go to Lincoln some, and I don't see hardly anybody using it. When I have it, somebody that lives in Cortland walking a mile and coming back. So I'm not sure the benefit, and it's always nice to keep talking and organizing, but unless, and that's just my opinion, there's a lot of pressing issues for this board, and the new board will have more new and different things. And I would think when the economy turns around, and maybe hopefully it will, and when it does, there'll be extra funding to do some of these things. But right now, I don't know if I see a benefit to continue to build and build and not knowing if we're going to be able to fund it. I think that between the city and NRD and this board, there's some awful good people that will make those decisions later, and it doesn't take much to start up a discussion again. So I would vote against it, but that's my opinion.
Shirley.
This is a really hot issue. 8 years ago when I was running for the board, it was one of the questions that was asked at our forum, and I think this is a question that could cost elections in the coming years, because it wasn't just the rural people that were against it. There was a lot of people in the city that were not for it. And it doesn't, by majority, I would say it's still the majority of the people that don't use the rails and trails. And right now, when we're trying to cut the budget a little bit or trying to keep the budget down, I don't even know why we'd want to try and take something new. At that time, there were none of the local villages or the government entities that were in favor of it. The county board tried to see if we could put it on the ballot. We weren't even allowed to put anything on the ballot. We haven't got the power to put anything on the ballot to see if the people could vote for it, and we couldn't get that done. So I guess I have the papers at home that show how much of the tax roll, the valuations that got taken away from the county when the land was taken away from the railroads and taken away from us. So I guess I'm not in favor of voting for this at all.
My comments, you guys, most of you have heard me say it. I hunt, I fish, I buy my own license, I got to pay to bow hunt, I got to pay, everything has a user's fee. I guess I'd like to see a user fee implemented on the hiking, the trails, to rails. The support primarily is coming from Lincoln. I don't know if you want to call it a legacy of who built the 300 miles of the rails to trails, whatever you may want to call it. But in my district, I can honestly say, and I believe the people at the table have never heard of a vote of support in my district for the trails, correct? I mean, that was the Trails Foundation people.
Oh, I'm sure.
The one and two of the Trails Foundation have never heard of a vote of support in our area. We all go to Lincoln. You see them, a mile each side of Cortland. Otherwise, they're on the highway, and I think this will be the same thing. I guess, to me, there's other things our money should go to. There are so many meetings. I understand and appreciate having the discussions. But if we're not going to go anywhere with it, then we're spinning our wheels, because there's so many meetings we go to. That an hour and a half is an hour and a half taken out of a meeting time, surely.
Farmers can't even drive their four-wheelers or mules or anything down the trail to check their crops or anything like that. They're not allowed on the trails, so it doesn't help them.
As far as Marysville, the 2 miles has been all they've raised, and they have no funds or anything to go north yet, correct?
I mean, they've started, they've done 2 miles, and that's probably the reality of the city of what will be used. Dave?
I'll be voting no just for a few reasons. If we go back 16 years about, I think, when the first federal rails to trails in action came in, ICE-T, I believe it was, I was against it at that point because the feds took 10% of all national highway funds and dumped it into trails and redeveloping depot buildings, transportation, museums, those kind of things. I wasn't for it then because on the county level, our main fight really is keeping our roads in good shape. We don't have enough money to adequately maintain roads. Why on earth would we want to take on miles and miles of trails? Trails have been a wonderful thing within the city limits, and I think it's really a cost-benefit ratio. You can see usually, like in Beatrice, it's used to the point that it makes some economic sense. You get between Beatrice to Marysville or even Beatrice, certainly Pickerel to Lincoln, as we've all seen, the usage is virtually nil. The bike riders are still on the edge of the highway, and you see very few hikers. I just feel the cost-benefit of, quote, rural trails just doesn't justify particularly county involvement. Now, if the feds who want to maintain rail corridors, now keep in mind, this is the underlying function of this whole deal, is that they want to keep those corridors open in case rails ever need to be built again for any reason between major cities. They're wanting to keep it all under one ownership and the entity and keep that corridor available. If the feds want it so bad, let them worry about it and or the cities. I was a little disheartened even when the NRD got involved, but I just don't believe that the county should get involved in this issue with all the other financial needs that are pressing us. And so I'll be voting no, although trails, recreation, all that is a great thing. But everything we have to do a cost-benefit analysis on it, and I just don't see it.
Danny?
Well, and I agree. this budget, as we look at immediate health care and safety needs of the citizens of Gage County and those people providing services in Gage County, that this board has traditionally supported and need more support because of the increase, the economy, and all of the issues that have affected people health-wise. This is a very long-term health care gain, and exercise and obesity, there's no question we need it. But the devotion of dollars right now needs to go to the immediate health and safety and building on the health and safety of the people of this county, and that's where we need to be spending our dollars at this point. So I, as much as I hate to, I also would be voting against.
Any more discussion? Vote.
You see, I'm the bright light.
Yeah, you're the bright light.
These are steadfast.
In favor, Fleece. Against, Anderson, Groenewald, Bauman, Adams, Byers, and Barnard. Thank you. Approve or disapprove? That is a bright light, Ron. Approve or, that's a bright light.
No question. When he
very bright.
No. Approve or disapprove quotes for the carpet in second floor county judge's office from Jim's Carpet in the amount of $6,860.06.
Okay, we asked for quotes to put carpet and vinyl in the second floor, which will be third floor once we ever change our numbering system, which is where the county court employees are located. This bid will include carpeting all the offices up there and also the hallway in those offices that go from the elevator over to the county court. We got quotes from, get my sheet out here, from Fletcher's and also Jim's Carpet. We're recommending, and I would make a motion at this point in time to approve the quote received from Jim's Carpet in the amount of $6,860.06. Then anybody has any questions, then I'll.
What kind of carpet? Did you say vinyl or?
No. Mostly it would be carpet. There'll be vinyl in the bathrooms.
Okay.
In the restrooms.
And in the hallway, it'll be?
I'll second the
hallways will be carpet also.
Seconded by Barnard.
Then we should discuss.
Okay, surely your discussion.
The
they thought about putting vinyl in the yes, in the hallways, but it, because they don't think they'll have a whole lot of traffic there, even though the prisoners will come up, so it'd be much easier to clean with carpet than with vinyl, since they'll be cleaning everything else in there.
Am I wrong? The main hallway stays the tile or the stone or whatever
call
it.
Oh, yeah, this is just the hallway
that
we...
That little secure, that little narrow secure hallway that winds away...
That we had to build for the fire marshal.
This is our $150,000 hallway.
Yeah.
Well, they said it was only 10 or 12, but we all know better.
$156,000
now. it was cheaper to put carpet in the corridor than it was to put vinyl in the corridor also.
And there are some levelness of floor issues that they felt carpet would go over better than...
Gary.
What was the amount of the other bid, Ron?
Fletcher's was... $8,252.54.
Same weight of carpet and everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, theirs was 26 ounce. Jim's was 28 ounce.
Wasn't the same, wasn't as good a quality as Jim's.
It was 28 ounce for
two
Jim's
ounce
and
difference.
26 ounce for the other ones. There might be a slight change in this price in that, and this would only be because of color. The county judge wanted a different color in his office than the rest of the offices. It'll be the same type of carpet, strength-wise, but whether or not there'd be any adjustment, because you're buying one big roll for one color, and you have to, it might be the same. But anyway, it's a good bid, one way or the other.
Any more discussion? Vote.
Whoa. There, getting my flipper again.
7-0 in favor. Committee reports.
I'll start. Finance Committee is going to meet next week and start going through. I know Don's still working on some stuff, but surely Ron and I, and we can accept one other if they want to sit in on it. We're going to meet the 9 o'clock on the 20th, and we're going to probably sit there as long as we need to, and just kind of start going through and trying to put some preliminary stuff together, and then also finish up 9 a.m. if we need to on the 21st. And then we also, of course, will roll into that equalization at 2, so we won't cross it. We'll be done by then, but starting to go through and look at some things. And I know that there's been some numbers that Don's had a hard time getting, and the other departments also, because there was a server issue. And I think the verdict's still out on that. So that'll.
And I don't want to interrupt you, but the 21st on equalization has been canceled. Oh. We think we can do everything today, so you can take that off your calendar.
Okay, sorry.
Sweet.
We try to help you guys whenever possible. Your equalization committee really cares about
it. So I'll put a question mark by that.
But no.
No.
A no period. No.
A black line right through the middle of it.
Yeah. Right.
Got it all done.
Golly sakes, I can golf that after morning.
I can't.
I think that's all just so we're going to work on that next week. I think we've waited and waited, and I think every week I called Don, and we met in committee, and we said, you know what, we got to start chipping away at this. So we don't need the clerk there, but we're going to start going through some stuff. If we do, we know where you're living. So we
did
can
the server out. Information get retrieved yet, or wasn't there some problem with the server that went down?
Yeah, I do have MIPS getting some prices for a new system. Our system is so old that the parts that we're getting are used parts. We lost the hard drives within 6 months, so the last one. So they're really recommending our system, everything.
Estimated cost?
Well, actually, it was considerably less than what they told me the first time. They told me the first time $30,000, but I think it could be around $10,000 to $12,000 now. We can get a 25% discount.
That prevents that shock, don't it? Might be 30.
It's probably smaller.
Yeah.
Well, they told us last time.
Good salesman.
Yeah, he's a good one.
That's a long way around to the answer, wasn't it?
I know.
It?
Yeah. Well, we panicked when Gage told us $30,000, and so I was pleasantly surprised.
But they were able to retrieve the information?
So far. We haven't run into
it. Ron, what's the NRDs?
And hardware is a fact of life in today's business and government, and how many departments run off this server?
It backs up the entire courthouse.
It's the entire courthouse.
So it shut everybody.
3052?
Got it, yes.
It's been that long.
Yeah.
I remember when we put the first server in this room over here, the first computer that did the Register of Deeds office, and probably 32 years ago, we went to Kansas to learn about computers and how they worked, and
the old punch
changed
cards,
a lot.
The punch cards.
Don't we want to make sure we get a bigger capacity than what we've got when we buy this, right?
And we are looking into what they call kind of a mirroring, a hard drive, or having more than one hard drive. So if one fails, we've got two extra ones in there, and they can replace the one, and we can keep operating. So that's going to be a capability, too, that's so it doesn't shut the entire
system.
Would
that be an extra external, then?
I don't know how that they'll set that. I think it's going to all be internal, the way I understand. They can either do it that way or do a mirrored hard drive where...
Are we backed up on a service somewhere to have a backup for all our stuff? Aren't some people doing that now? Maybe Matt, your way ahead of me.
That's big business.
So every day you back up on somebody else's system in case something really goes wrong. Should we be looking at doing that possibly?
It'd save where you're at right now.
I'm surprised we're not. I mean, usually
you know what I'm
every
talking
24
about,
hours at least things download to an off-site storage. But MIPS, you might corner MIPS about that.
I hear it advertised on a couple of radio programs every day.
Television, too.
Huh?
Television, too.
There's different options.
You must listen to Kim Commando on KWBE on Saturday morning.
Well, I know these additional hard drives will make a big difference as far as any lost data or downtime.
I've been busy reading the paper.
We didn't have that before. When it went out and shut the whole system down.
Imagine if we lost all the assessor or the register or everybody's records.
Well, we have a backup tape that we can restore. Okay. We back up every night, so we can restore to back to a certain point whenever that
But not all of it.
No, you would have to recreate like maybe a day or 2 days worth, depending on when it started to fail, what was corrupted. So we do have backup tapes that we can put back in.
But they're discussing a redundant system, so they would operate in concert. So if you lost one, you'd still have this one.
We'd still have the data, and it would still stay operational.
Do we need to bid this out? Would this be other specs, or do we have to get this through MIPS?
MIPS is actually the middle guy that's contacting the company that works with IBM. And they have a government discount of 25% through them.
Mr. Chair.
I think it's ACS.
And while we're having that discussion and with some election changes and stuff, I think this board really needs to visit the whole computer thing. There was a time where this board, and I think it's still on the record resolution style, that MIPS was the county provider of computer service. And then we had various renegades ran off and did their own thing. I think we need to revisit that, either recodify it or dump it, you know, clean it up some way, because...
Can you try to find that resolution so we know what it was?
We've got at least two that went. Our emergency manager, he's on his own, isn't he? He went with somebody, and then the county attorney
county
went with somebody.
Attorneys haven't. You know, some people love MIPS, and some people hate them. I don't know what the answer is. I'm personally confused myself.
Well, we're at
some people think they've screwed
basically
everything up. And
just like insurance... We're at a disadvantage. We don't know a whole lot. I mean, we just don't have any of us sitting around the table.
Well, speak
you
for yourself.
Have expertise in this.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're kind of loose there.
There's nowhere he can't go.
Because how do we know, you know, MIPS does this?
Many, many counties get along with them just great. That's all
we
I
have
know.
There's a lot of counties that are using MIPS program.
I mean, I think if you go through the Clerks Association, it'd be a good group to kind of tell you how they're getting along.
But do they really know what's out there other than MIPS?
No.
To do this?
No, they present at the conventions.
Yeah, and everybody say, oh, they're doing a good job, but how do you know there isn't somebody else out there that could do just as good a job for less money?
If you never listen, you don't know.
That's right.
The elected officials, you guys meet every so often, since you're the ones that use it.
I personally, wouldn't want to switch. We have our programs where we know exactly what we need to do. We'd have to learn a whole new system if you get somebody else's system in there.
Yeah, but you guys are all computer smart, so you can do
that. You're professionals.
Well, I understand that, but trying to redo a system, that you're talking a lot of downtime, you know, trying learning curve.
No, I'm saying maybe in your meetings, you meet once a month or quarterly, maybe reaffirm the idea that you're going to use MIPS, maybe get a consensus there if that's the idea. Otherwise,
I think most of your core elected officials, I think, are all happy. And, you know, the assessor's office, we did a lot of change in there a few years ago, and I believe that's going quite well. And so.
I know.
But it would be a good opportunity, say, with the new attorney coming in and such, to see if we can't all maybe get on the same page and play together. And the computer would be one issue that should be resolved maybe early on.
We all need our own laptops, too.
Everybody else does.
Other county boards do, by golly.
Well, in one aspect, that's a very good idea. Your data, everything's entered, and as your forms change, that computer goes, and everything's right there.
Of course, Rex has got his zippy phone, so he really doesn't need a laptop. He can
faster than my computer.
Do everything on his phone.
I still have a dot matrix printer at home. Teletype.
Okay.
Look at that. I think there's a computer jack there by your desk, but really, and sometime in the near future, because a lot of people just like to keep all their notes and their agendas and stuff, you know, on a laptop. And
it's a paperless world. I mean, look at the paper we end up with every day.
Well, it helps me with my printer because I use the backside of those.
Yes, it does.
And we'd have to determine, I don't know why it couldn't be wireless, at least in this room. I don't think most of what we deal with is all that confidential. I know I had that conversation with the clerk a few years back that, you know, it'd have to be hardwired to each computer to be secure. But is there anything? I mean, virtually everything's public information anyhow. If not, hey, they weasel it out of us somehow anyway. So.
Why do you look at you?
Where's our speakers? Where do those things go?
They'll get rehung.
Where are they now, though?
There's one right over there.
Right now, they're just up above.
One over there.
They just turned up real high.
The contractors just tacked them. You remember Tom said he'd have to come back and redo and redo.
He would rather do it himself.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're leaving the holes open for a couple of those things.
Okay, any other committee reports?
Oh, I should probably give one on building and grounds. We met for 2 hours again the other day. We went through about 13 items, dealt with the courthouse renovation. First one, we had a downspout on both sides of the southeast and the southwest that had been plugged up, and we were getting waters coming leaking in. And the roofers were supposed to clean that. Those gutters out, which they failed to do. And so Cheevers, with their, when they were doing some stuff up there, went to check. Dave Jones wanted them to look into it. And so they did. They were plugged up. And that's where we were getting leaks into the district courtroom and also the county courtroom. So they went ahead and cleaned them, and it's about a $1,221 item. However, we said that's not our problem. Cheevers just needs to get their money from Scott's Enterprises. Case closed on that one. That's the way it goes. The next one, we're going to be bringing in the phone system to the building, and so we had to be doing some work right below here, taking concrete and coming into Dave's old office down on, which will now be first floor, through the underneath a window to bring all the cables for the telephone into our system down there. And so we'll have a cost on that here in a couple of weeks. We'll also have a change order coming up, number 26, in a couple of weeks. That'll probably have about four or five items on it, on things that we have to get done to finish up various little miscellaneous items in the court, in the county courthouse. One of them was we had to put two new fire sprinkler heads into the woodshed that's attached to the north elevator, according to the fire marshal. That'll be about $650. We've had to put in some new door frames coming in from the outside in the northeast corner to Dave's office, and we'll be getting those costs also. We'll be looking at moving some electrical outlets in the driver's testing area. Dave has requested some of that be done, so that'll also be involved. The county attorney office wanted some new telephone data locations in their reception area, which we denied. We no messing around with any of that stuff at this point in time. They maybe have to move a desk or two or move some lines or get an extension cord. The attorneys are looking into, still looking into certain paints that they're going to be using in the, both of their courtrooms. And that'll be an item coming up. So basically, hopefully in 2 weeks, we'll have a change order with a, probably a half a dozen or more items into it as far as some of the costs are concerned. The biggest one will probably be the lights that they're having, that they're putting in some of the new office. I mean, some of the offices now, there'll be three more additional lights, light fixtures in the treasurer's office, three in the clerk's office, none in the assessor's office. The register of deeds will have two new lights involved and two what they call down lights that they'll have where they come into the office where the where they do their books and stuff right next to the walls there. They'll have those. The boardroom, there's three of them they put in the back there right now. So
nothing read the newspaper in the back row.
So they'll, and we've got quite a few lights like that around that we're not using, so a lot of that will be moved in places where we don't need them and to places where we need them.
Question, Ron?
Yeah.
As I peer through there, I see the grids in place, and there's all kinds of wires hanging down, and several of them appear to be fiber optic, and this is in clerk's office, or telephone lines or computer lines. How are they going to get that above there? Because it's all
wired now. It's everything's all. Yeah.
No, I mean it's hooked up, but it's under the grid. Who'll get that above the grid?
Oh, that's for the.
But it's hanging down. Like they got the grid in place, but it's under the.
Just push it up there. Put it up there.
Wasn't there a dispute on who's supposed to do that? Let's just get this right out where it needs to be. Is there a dispute about that, Don? Didn't somebody tell you it's his job, not my job? And you went back and forth and nothing's done. Let's get to the bottom of it.
That was the conversation that the two people had in our office, the workers, that wasn't their job. And so
somebody's job is going to be putting it in place, yeah. So there are no change orders. Is that what you're saying for that? Yeah.
They wanted to cut them. First, we said those are our cables. You can't cut. That's our computer stuff.
Yeah, there's electric line.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of.
All that stuff, it's all been put into those big cylinders. They're all there going down to the data center. So.
Oh, that's my concern, is it's hooked up, but how are they going to get it? They have to splice it? And
yeah.
He's not. Ron, Rick Schreiner showed me the thing about the phone lines in the attorney's office. I got to say, I agree with him. If we're going to pay somebody to come back and do it later, it's going to cost us more.
May not.
I think anybody that would have that office would agree, but I won't dispute that anymore, other than it'll probably get changed at an extra expense. What about some doors? The guys from, I told Dave and Denny this the other day, one of the guys from Lincoln with Cheever came down, and there's a dispute with the architect. Some doors are, did they get past that dispute so the doors can get finished and they can move on and get in progress with what?
Well, we only had really two doors. One of them's down where you come in from the outside.
Is that what the dispute was over?
Well, yeah, because
Wim told them to take them out, didn't he?
Frames look okay until they started tearing some stuff out.
Right.
There was some termite damage and everything else in there. And then they had another frame that was made out of the type of metal that goes into the data room that you could probably almost cut it with a scissors. It's that, so they're going to replace that. The other door was down at the driver's testing thing that goes back into a lot of equipment back in there. It's not fire. It's not a fire rating.
So did we tell Cheever to go ahead so we can progress and we'll work on the architect's point of view later?
Yeah.
Those will be part of change order 26, right?
Part of change order 26.
So the architect did have them take it out and then...
No, there was nothing ever taken out. No, they were, these were all new ones.
No, I meant out of the bid. That's why the disagreement.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'm just saying it seemed like from the guy was telling me from Cheever's, it was there's things being held up because between him and Wim, they couldn't. Nobody was moving ahead and actually just getting something done.
Didn't come up the other day of an issue like that. So I don't know, but maybe there's all kinds of stories going out there. Okay. About
this guy was from Lincoln than from Cheevers.
Matt?
As we were talking about people moving back, when's the DMV or the testing folks, when are they coming? Because they've been at the extension office for some time. Do they have a date to come back yet? Or?
It'll probably be when everything gets pretty well done, I would imagine, here in the next couple of months.
Because they're all sheetrock down there now and everything, right?
Oh, yeah. But some of that electrical work that Dave wanted to get done down there is in that room.
Okay.
And also that a new door that's also part of that area in there. And
that area has really been used a lot for staging and supplies and stuff. I would almost guess that'll be one of the last areas.
But I would imagine they'll be one of the last ones to probably move back in and when everything is pretty well done, almost 100% done. Right now they're about 92% completed with the tire.
Yeah, because really, I guess as I sit here and talk myself through it, where people sit there, boy, they'd be in the way.
Yeah.
Because that place sometimes is packed full of people.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. So.
Any other committee reports, Gary?
I went to the last Five Rivers RC&D meeting. They have hired a part-timer to help Tammy Timms and her job over there. And I got to tell you, we had strawberries and shortcake. They have wonderful food, Don. If you could ever see your way to supply something like that for this group, we would appreciate
see
it.
See what I can do.
And I'm going tomorrow because they got another one. Another meeting.
They do. They feed you.
Oh,
well
they feed
there.
You good. Yeah. I'm glad I get to go out. They're nice people over there too.
Takes a lot to get you to Tecumseh. You know, you can't just have cookies.
Any other day.
Road and bridge, quick. Up around the Adams area, there's a lady been working on us for months. Bernice Hale been calling many of us about a tree in the road issue, and that is a major issue countywide. I just like to have everybody have your antennas up. There'll be more to come. We've got 21st century vehicles, combines, big tall sprayers, school buses going down 19th century roads, and we've just got to keep that right away clear. The reason I bring her up is that I'm glad to say Marlin got a hold of those people involved, and they are trimming back the branches that are covering the stop sign immediately and have committed to do some dozer work this winter, cleaning out some of the other trees in question. So sometimes government, you know, does work on these little specific issues. And
do we bill them for that then if it's their responsibility if the county?
The landowners are cleaning it up themselves. Marlin called the offending landowners, and the landowners are getting the issues taken care of. So if we ever end up like a forced thing, yeah, there's a process for doing that. But generally, if you just bring it to enough attention, particularly this was in a trust, and, you know, a lot of times you just have to get the overseer's attention and a lot of these issues taken care of. Just everywhere I go, and I guess probably because I'm out in the ag community, I just get so many complaints about the trees. And we've had a lush spring. Actually, a lot of these tree branches have probably grown 3 feet, you know, since spring. And the issues are, it's a major issue, and at least I intend to keep pursuing it. Our dirt foreman is back to work on light duty. Dink is back to work on his route. Rock and gravel bids will be on the 28th of this month. So anybody's, I don't know that, we just do that every year and basically accept all bids, but that's coming up. Marlin said there's 6 townships left to gravel. So by the 28th, he thinks everything ought to be done. And so we've kind of completed that cycle. The Barnston South Bridge has a new start date. You know, it was supposed to have been back in June. Feds have postponed it. There's a couple other bridges they're finishing up, whatever. The excuse is, remember, this is one of those bridges that's totally in the state and feds' hands. So it's a 90 construction day project, but probably won't get started till late this month or early August. So bad news is that's obviously going to run into harvest season. Hoyg Hickory Road, the last we heard on this mile of pavement up here is that the letting should be in October. You know, we've heard that song and dance now for a couple of years. So, but that's the latest information we have. And I did have an NPPD official call me and was asking me what was going on with that road. So I brought him up to date as best I could. So there's interest in that. And finally, with armor coating in the budget, we talked a bit with the Finance Committee. We did not spend $120,000 on armor coating this year that we had budgeted. So mentally at least, we're kind of rolling that over and strongly encouraging, since we're kind of looking at a two-year deal, at least a couple hundred thousand dollars be spent on the armor coating, the spray of the oil, and either gravel, or we mentioned the possibility of trying some of the chip rock, which is about a 30% higher cost, but the ground angle chipped rock stays in place a lot better than the round gravel that oftentimes rolls out of the asphalt. Those issues may come up in the future just for discussion. Thank you.
Any other committee reports? Board of Supervisors adjourned at 10:08, and Board of Equalization will resume at 11.
Do coffee and donuts.